The Lord be with you. I don't seem to have any announcements, so we will begin this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. We sing our opening hymn. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Let us go, therefore, to our transfigured Lord, seeking forgiveness and asking that he would restore us in gentleness. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have failed to live in gentleness, the fruit of your Holy Spirit, in our thinking, speaking, and acting. We have not exhibited self-control in times of elation or stress. We need your help to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness. Our Lord Jesus revealed his person and ministry through his words and actions. In your great mercy, forgive, renew, and lead us so that we may be revealed as his faith-filled followers to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a commissioned servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And
Let us pray. Gracious Father, in his transfiguration, your Son's determination to go toward the cross showed his true glory in his gracious sacrifice for us. Grant that we may be strengthened in faith to live each day with the awareness of your overwhelming mercy in love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Exodus 24, 8 to 18. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant of the Lord has made you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet as if it were a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay a hand on the chief of men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablet of stone with the laws and the commandments which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up unto the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here as until we return for you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he called Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in a sign of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples, for great is his steadfast love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Our second reading, the epistle reading, comes from 2 Peter 1, 16 to 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and with the voices was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven. For we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have a prophetic word for more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to the lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of the Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but the man spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Holy Gospel today according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. As the transfiguration ends, Jesus deals with in gentleness toward Peter and urges the disciples to keep this to themselves until after the resurrection. So we read the gospel. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one of the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we sing the sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter's reaction to the transfiguration reminds me of a story that I read this week. A young parish priest walked into the sanctuary of his church, and there, kneeling at the altar, was Jesus Christ himself. The young priest immediately ran to the senior priest and told him what was going on. And the priest immediately called the bishop because he didn't know what to do. And the bishop called the pope because he didn't know what to do. And the bishop says, "I'm going to call the pope and find out what's going on, and I'll let you know." And after some frantic phone calls, the phone rings back, and it's the pope. And he tells the bishop what to do. And the bishop calls the priest and tells him what to do. And the priest calls the young priest and says, "The Pope says we should look busy. We should look busy." Well, you all remember the Transfiguration story. Jesus takes Peter and James and John, and they go up to a high mountain. I can imagine them standing there on top of this mountain. If they looked off to the west, they probably would have been able to see the Mediterranean Sea. And if they looked up to the north, they probably would have been able to see parts of Syria and maybe Lebanon. And if they looked off to the east, they could probably see the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and the desert beyond the Jordan. And while they're enjoying all of this view, suddenly Jesus is transfigured. The writer today says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, that his clothes became white as light, and suddenly there's Moses and Elijah standing there talking with Jesus. This is Jesus in all his heavenly glory, in all his heavenly splendor. What a moment that must have been to behold. Here are three of the greatest figures in all of Judeo-Christian history. And what does Peter do? Peter decides he should get busy. Rather than taking in the splendor of Jesus in all his glory, he offers to make three tents. He says to Jesus, "Would you like me to run down the mountain and get some material and make a shade for each of you?" And before he can make any more silly suggestions, the mountain suddenly is enclosed in a cloud. And Peter is interrupted by God's booming voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." I thought about trying to reproduce that, but I'm not so sure I know exactly what God's voice sounds like. And so I thought I would just say it a little bit louder. But God's voice was so frightening that the disciples fall down on their faces, probably covering their heads, wondering what the world is going on. And while they're laying there waiting for something bad to happen, the transfiguration is over and Moses and Elijah leave, and suddenly Jesus is gently tapping them on the shoulder, saying, "Rise and have no fear." Have you ever wondered what God's voice sounds like? God's presence was indicated on Mount Sinai by a cloud, and also by smoke and thunder and lightning, a fearful time. And when Jesus was baptized, God spoke, and they thought they were listening to thunder. And today God speaks, and the disciples are frightened. So what does the voice of God sound like? How is it that he speaks to us? This week, Linda Tedish and I went to visit Marion. And after I read the gospel, the discussion kind of transformed into the question of, wouldn't it be nice if we could hear what God had to say all the time? Wouldn't it be nice if God told us exactly what to do every day? Imagine that one-way conversation. Go to the store, get some groceries, go to bed, it's time to get up, do your exercises. Have you read the Bible today? You need to go to the doctor and get that checkup. Stop eating all that sugar. You really do need to forgive that person rather than trying to condemn them. But God's mere presence scares people. And so I'm not sure we would like to hear that all the time. In fact, we may not want to hear that God's voice 24/7 anyway. If he speaks as loudly as we might end up being deaf. Can you imagine hearing this all day long? And I'm going to try to repeat what God might sound like.
Do your exercises. Read the Bible. Go to the doctor and get that checkup. Stop eating all that sugar.
Perhaps there really is a reason why God speaks in a still, small voice. But then the question is, why doesn't God speak to us in ways that we can understand? What is it that God wants? We know that he wants us to love others as he loves us. He wants us to be one of his children. But then he gives us a choice. We can either listen to him or we can ignore him. If he were speaking that loudly all the time, perhaps we couldn't ignore him. And God also wants a close relationship with us. Think about developing a relationship. As a relationship develops, we get to know the other person better and better and better. Over time, the two people in a relationship begin to think alike and act alike, and they even talk the same. Couples who have been married for a long time are said to know what the other one is thinking. Irma Bombeck once said, "Never be in a hurry to terminate a marriage. Someday you may need that person to finish a sentence for you." And sometimes God speaks loudly in subtle ways. You all know that my daughter's been in the hospital recently, and she came home this week, and we're very grateful for that. She was jaundiced, and there was no diagnosis for the first couple of days, and there was even the word pancreatic cancer mentioned, and we were all pretty scared. Fortunately, that diagnosis was ruled out. Giving her my best fatherly advice, I suggested that God calls us to suffer sometimes through difficulties, that they're not going to be around forever. I said, Paul calls it perseverance. And I suggested, and this too shall pass, that life will not always be like this. And then I also mentioned that God sometimes does things to get our attention. And her response was very telling. She said, God's voice doesn't get much louder than this. And for the first time in years, she asked us to pray with her, and she asked that I bring her communion. Perhaps God has a good reason why he doesn't speak too loudly. You see, he wants to have a close relationship with us, but relationships don't develop in a few weeks or even a few years. Good relationships that are strong and lasting develop over decades. Next year, Ann and I will celebrate our 50th anniversary. The strength of that relationship has grown over the years, And thankfully, it has struggled through and suffered and made the storms of life without being broken. That relationship has lived through anger and through frustration and through separation when I was in the service. But it also has experienced the joy of being reunited when simple words were just unnecessary. But that relationship has never been strengthened by loud voices. You've probably heard it said that having a personal relationship with God is life-changing. Do you believe that? Has your life changed because of your relationship with God? For those of us who have been lifelong Lutherans, I think it's hard for us to answer that question because we have just always known that Christ was our Savior. But I have another question for you. Would you like that relationship with God to be stronger? Can you make it stronger? Based on my experience here at Emmanuel over the last 3+ years, the answer to all of those questions is an unqualified yes. During my first year here at Emmanuel, there was a gathering of the district board of directors over at Corvallis, and each of the pastors got up to say a few words about where they were with their congregation. And I remember standing up there saying, "Can't believe that God put me there." And I remember in those first months walking down that aisle thinking, "Am I going to wake up before I actually get to the front of that church?" And I didn't. A member of the board asked me a question I hadn't thought about. He said, "Why do you think God put you there?" Wow, why do you suppose I'm here? And before I could think much harder about the answer to that question, he said, "Do you suppose that God put you there because he wanted a closer relationship with you?" I don't know if that was God's purpose, but I can tell you that after having been here for that amount of time, I certainly do have a stronger relationship with God, and that's been one of the blessings of serving this congregation. And that's what I want for you this morning, is a stronger relationship with God. I want you to recognize his voice every time you hear him speak. But my wanting that won't necessarily make it happen. Strengthening that relationship is between you and between God. Perhaps you just come to church on Sunday for worship. Could you attend Bible study as well on Sunday morning? Perhaps you attend both worship and Sunday school. Do you bring your Bible every Sunday? Do you write in the margins? Could you read and study the texts for the coming Sunday during the week? Do you have a daily devotion? Do you have a Bible reading plan? Do you have a study Bible that helps you to understand what's going on in the time of those texts and how words are translated? If you don't have one, get one. You may be saying, "Well, gosh, you're kind of asking a lot. I'm pretty busy in my life and I have trouble finding time for that." And I understand that because I sat where you're sat. Where you're sitting for the first 60 years of my life. We don't pay much attention to the voice of someone that we don't know. We don't seek advice from a stranger, and if they do offer us advice, we mostly ignore it. We might listen to someone that we respect. But we do listen to the voice of someone who is a close friend. And the closer and the longer and the stronger that relationship, the greater the possibility is that you're going to turn to that person when things go south, When things get tough, that's the person to whom you're going to go. If you want to hear and recognize God's still small voice that he uses to speak with us, then strengthen your relationship with him. And it would be easy for you to say at this point, I'm going to have to start that Monday, but I'm going to suggest to you that we start right now with this prayer. So we pray. Lord, your voice is not in thunder and earthquakes or wind. Your still small voice is sometimes difficult for us to hear. In your mercy and by your grace, strengthen our relationship. Help us to find ways to build up that relationship with you so that when you speak to us, we can confidently say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Amen. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, we are terrified when we are frightened by the wages of sin in light of our failure. Let us see only you. At those times, please come and touch us and remind us of the Father's words, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Remind us that because of your perfect work on our behalf, these words are now for us. Illuminate yourself in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for all who live this day in sadness or fear, who are facing sudden crisis or long-term illness, or mourn the loss of a loved one. We pray especially for Paula, Dan, Sue, Jerry, Norm, Carrie, and Piper. And we pray for those who cannot be with us today, Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Jean, Della, Fred, Denny, Karen, Weldon, and Marion. Surround them with people of faith, good counselors, and compassionate caregivers. And use us and our resources to bring about healing, dignity, and joy for all those for whom we pray. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, as we approach the season of Lent, use this 40-day season for our preparation for your glorious resurrection. We know that we will continue in our sinful ways, yet we earnestly pray for your mercy and forgiveness as we consider our weak and sinful nature. Use our weakness to better appreciate your perfect life and the salvation you offer through your death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you are sovereign. You are our creator and sustainer of all life, and we are upheld by your right hand. Today we pray for our nation's leaders, trusting that you are in charge of all that happens in this world. Grant to leaders at every level of government to fear you, to earnestly seek your face, and to walk in the knowledge of Jesus' saving work. Change hard hearts and bless our nation with trusting faith. Grant that your Holy Spirit may move every human heart, that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions may disappear, and hatred cease, and that with our division be healed, so we might live in justice and in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, there are people who don't know you. We are concerned about them. They struggle through life with only their own strength to get them through, and we know how much you could help them. Strengthen us to witness to their need to get to know you and as their Savior. Open our mouths to share our faith when you see it is the right time. We look forward to seeing amazing things you do in their lives as you draw them into a closer relationship with you. Use us, Lord, to help them to become faithful followers of yours. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things, dear Lord, that whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may God Almighty, the Father who gave his Son for the life of the world, the Son who has revealed to us God's grace and mercy and love, and the Spirit by whose fruit we are seen to be children of God, bless you now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are announcements, please come forward.
They'll make sure it's on. Those guys up there are on it. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been helping with the Blessing Box. I know during the week, Guy and Pat have been filling it. I know Karen does sometimes. And then I've had some wonderful donations. If you think about it, when you're at the grocery store, pick up a few items that are easily opened or easily accessed, and just drop them on the back pew. I know it gets a little frustrating for some of us when the box gets totally wiped out, but what I remember is that Christ says, what you do for the least of them, you do for me. And so if they need it, then we're actually helping them. And Fran made some beautiful hats, some stocking caps, so I'm going to be putting those in there one at a time. I don't fill it completely up, so if you're filling it, just put a few items in, and then we'll do it more often. But thank you all very much.
I have a special request from you. A lot of you might already start your day out in prayer and asking the Lord to guide you through the day, just to walk with you as you go through the day or whatever. But Wednesday we start 40 days of Lent. And I would request that each of you would get up in the morning and ask the Lord to walk with you each day and be present with you in your walk each day. And also pray for one another. Pray for your shepherd, whoever he may be up here. We have a lot of decisions coming up in the church in the next months. And hopefully if we all come together each day in prayer, asking the Lord for guidance and his presence in our walk. And I would also ask that maybe you take the directory. I think everybody has one. If you don't, you can get one. But pick out a section each day and lay it out to where each day of the week that every person in your congregation is prayed for by you. I know it'll probably take you 15 minutes or so each day, but I would just request that we try this for the next 40 days during our Lenten season, and see if God don't bless us and bring us together as his bride or his family, as we are the body of Christ. Thank you.
Some good advice. Good advice. I have, 10 or 12 announcements to make here. There's a suggestion box out in the narthex. If you have a favorite hymn that you'd like to sing, write it down, put it in the suggestion box. If you have questions, write them down, put them in the suggestion box. Maybe you'd like to have longer sermons. We can accommodate that. Use the suggestion box. Sometimes, it's not easy to make a phone call, and maybe you don't have another way. Maybe that's the easiest way for you to let me know or let the elders know what kind of needs you might have. Second, the newsletter is out. Janie, thank you very much. Take a look at that. There's some good information in there. If you ever need to read the text for the coming Sunday, those are all there as well. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. There will not be any soup, but there will be a service at 6. And we'll be done by probably 6:40 or 6:45. We will not have a PA system at that service, and we will not have the projections on the screen. So if you have trouble hearing, move forward. One last thing. Before I went on a couple of weeks vacation, Terry came to me and said, Holy Cross is interested in reuniting the two congregations. I want you to know some things about that. First of all, there's been no official communication between the two churches. That doesn't mean there won't be, but there is not right now. This month, the elders and the council will have some discussions about that and decide how it might be best to proceed. If you have thoughts about that, let them know what you're thinking. Don't sit and say nothing, because saying nothing sounds like you're in favor of whatever is being discussed. I don't want anybody to get excited about this. If we were to reunite the two churches, that wouldn't happen for a year or two, I would think. So it's not something that's going to happen next week or even next summer, next year. It's going to be something we need to discuss. It's a possibility. I don't know if that's where God is leading us. But please let me know what you think. Let the elders know what you think. Let the council know what you think. Discuss it amongst yourselves. Pray about it. You know, God opens doors for us, and sometimes we need to walk through those doors. Sometimes they're just windows that we look through and say, ah, no, that's not something we want to do. So my plea is to talk about it, to discuss it, but most of all, let people know, especially the leadership, let them know what you're thinking, what your thoughts are on it. I'll stop there. Jim. Good place to start. I expect to see 40 people there. We sing our closing hymn.